Right, well, let's get into our teaching time for today. And over the last several weeks, we have been doing everything we can to encourage you to get into your Bibles, to open up your Bibles, to feed yourself God's Word, not just on the weekends when we worship together, but throughout the week as well. We're talking about the importance of staying spiritually hydrated. And so, by the way, if you did not yet get your water bottle, well, we had these printed to encourage us to put them in a place that will remind you not only to stay physically hydrated, but to stay spiritually hydrated. And, you know, this week, my daughter came home on Friday, and she said, Dad, guess what? We had a substitute teacher today, and she had a Ridgefield Nazarene Hydrate water bottle. So, see, it helps fellowship and encouraging each other, and, you know, it probably provides some conversation piece as well. I've had to explain it to a couple of people. The last remaining water bottles are out at the Information Center. Get yours before you go home. Stickers as well are out there. But today, you've kind of heard several different voices, and that has been our intent, that several of our staff members and church members would lend their voices to share the importance of getting into God's Word. And so today, Grant is helping me out, and we are sharing this teaching time today. As we thought and planned for today, Grant's story really helps to illustrate the importance of what we're talking about, and so I've invited him to come and share his story and continue preaching with me today. So, Grant, why don't you share with us your story as we start today?
It was a cold, dark, rainy Sunday morning in January of 1996. I was invited to go to church. It was in Vancouver. It was a Nazarene church in Vancouver off of 39th Street and Main. And the only reason why I was at this church was to play basketball. The pastor's son had invited me to play for his church's team, and the only way I could play basketball on the team was attend three church services. So this was the first of those three church services, and I was actually sitting back where my wife was in that general area of the church, with the teens of the group, and I knew two people in this whole church, pastor's son Scott and my buddy Frank. And Pastor Slamp gave a great message. I don't remember a single word of it, but it was a great message. And throughout the service, God, I felt this presence of God just stirring my heart. And at the end of his message, he did what Pastor Jason frequently does, is he has an altar call, and he asked those who may not know Christ if they wanted to come down to the altar and pray the sinner's prayer. And I stood up and walked out to the aisle and came down the aisle and came over to the altar here, and I gave my heart to Christ. I went to church just to play basketball, and instead, I got the gift of eternal life. So, I began going to church on a consistent basis every Sunday. Went to Sunday school, and joined the youth group. Got into the Word, got into God's Word, and I, but the problem was is that was the only time I got in the Word, because I was really intimidated by the Bible. I was a new Christian. I had some background in the Catholic Church, but at that point, I was an infant in Christ, and so I never really got into God's Word outside of church. And so it was about 6 years ago when God began to stir my heart again, and I felt Him calling me to the ministry. And the strange thing about my call was, though He was calling me to the ministry, I knew there was more to it, and it was like He was trying to just get me on the right path, because He knew I wasn't faithfully digging into His Word, learning more about Him. I was only doing that on a very inconsistent basis. So I really believe that this was God's way of getting me to grow deeper and deeper with Him. And as long, as well as my call into the ministry. And since then, I have been a devoted follower of Jesus, digging into the Word. As I'm going through all these courses, study classes, I've invested time in daily devotions, and God is just continuing to bless my life.
Thanks for sharing that story, Grant. First of all, I appreciate your vulnerability and willing to tell a story that, you know, isn't always easy to tell.
Right.
You know? I mean, there's some vulnerability, and I appreciate that. So I could easily listen to the story and just say, man, Grant, my heart aches for you that for 20 years you went not really growing in your faith, not really growing as God wanted you to grow. Your faith kind of was on cruise control for a little while, it sounded like.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, it might be natural to say, why didn't you put yourself under the teaching of a good Bible-teaching pastor where you could be fed the Word of God on a regular basis?
Well, I did while I was at Hillcrest with Pastor Slamp for the 2 years I was there. Then I met my wife, Renee, at NNC, and she drugged me over to over here, and I'm so thankful for that. And under the tutelage of Pastor Mike, Pastor Brian, and now you, Pastor Jason.
Okay. So it wasn't for lack of Bible teaching or a Bible teacher. So we know we need to get beyond worship too. I guess I'd say, why didn't you at least put yourself in a Bible study where you could be taught by someone who's maybe not intimidated by God's Word, or join a Sunday school class where you could get good, solid Bible teaching?
I did. I'd been under the study of Pastor Frieda, Leon Muffet, and now currently Butch Petrick. So I've had some fantastic Bible teaching teachers.
Okay. So it wasn't an issue of being fed. It wasn't an issue that you didn't have the opportunity, or that you weren't sitting under the good teachers. You were being taught the Word of God on a regular basis. But I mean, how do you explain that then? I mean, what was going on?
I was being fed the Word. I was just what I call spiritually lazy. I just I was content with just coming to church on Sundays, and with the busyness of life, I was spiritually lazy.
Okay. I mean, thanks for sharing that. It's, like I said, not easy to share. And then the reason I wanted Grant to share his story is because I think that many of us, when we're honest, would say that we have lived, or maybe are still living, right where Grant was. And maybe for you, it's been 2 decades of just kind of living on spiritual cruise control, not really growing deeper in your faith. And you've been hearing, you've been in a place to grow, but you're just, for some reason, you haven't. You see, it's not very long before when a person's in ministry and in a place of leadership before we hear something like, Pastor, we really need to be fed. I mean, I've heard it sometimes. I had a conversation like this last summer. Someone had said, Pastor, your preaching really connects with people who are early on in their faith and like spiritual infants in their faith. But those of us who've been around for a while, been serving Christ for a while, we need to be fed too. I mean, you're really good at presenting some of the basics, but what about the deeper stuff? We got to call people to a deeper faith. And Pastor, we need to be fed. You need to feed us. Now, be careful before you say an amen. I'm glad nobody did, because you might embarrass yourself. Because today, I want to dispel a myth that I think keeps us from growing spiritually. Sometimes I hear that in terms of, Pastor, we need to be fed some meat. You're giving us kind of like milk type of stuff. We need the meat of God's truth. That comes from a Bible verse. We're going to look at that Bible verse, and I'm going to help you see that when we say we need to be fed, you can't say that and use the example of milk and meat, and here's why. We're going to get to the Bible verse, and you're going to have a better understanding. I'm going to challenge you today. This is not going to be easy. It maybe won't feel good. I really like messages that are encouraging, because I just believe that most of us were fighting spiritual battles and just a lot of battles. We need to be encouraged regularly. Today, it's just not going to be all that encouraging. This is kind of a truth-in-your-face type of message today. It might hurt a little, but we need to hear this message today if we're really going to grow up in Christ. So take your Bibles if you have them. If you forgot your Bible, no problem. We're going to put it up on the screen here. But if you have your Bible, you want to follow along, we are in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. Hebrews, almost way back at the end of the Bible, but Hebrews chapter 5, we're going to get right into it here, starting at verse 11. We read this, We have much to say about this, but it's hard to make clear to you because you no longer try to understand. So whoever it was that wrote the short little letter of Hebrews, we call it the book of Hebrews, it's a letter to encourage some Christians. There is some deep teaching. There is some deep theology in which the author tries to show that all of the Old Testament and the complicated, even the complicated sacrificial system in the Old Testament, it all pointed to Jesus and found fulfillment in Jesus. And to explain that required some deep, tedious theological explanations, and it was complicated. And he says, though, look what he says, though. I mean, Grant, when you look at that, what does he say? That the problem is they don't have a good teacher?
No.
Is the problem that their teacher isn't very good at explaining things clearly?
No.
What does he say the essential problem is?
They're not trying to understand.
They no longer even try to understand. Now, when I hear your story, it seems like maybe this kind of intersects with this a little bit, that where you were, is that maybe where some of these guys were?
Yeah.
That it'd be fair to say that they're kind of in this world of spiritual laziness? So verse 12. Grant, why don't you read that for us as we continue on, as he's going to help them understand where they're at spiritually.
In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again.
So now he uses the example of like a school, of a classroom, right?
Right.
So when you're a teacher, what's the goal for your students?
That they would learn something throughout the course of the class.
Yeah. And if they don't learn anything, they have to take the class over again.
Right.
At the end of several semesters, what's your goal as a teacher?
I would think that they would be able to maybe teach the class or teach others about what they've learned.
Yeah. At the end of several semesters, they've learned so much that they could learn teach somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet now he says to these folks, you've gotten to the end of elementary school, and you're in sixth grade, and you haven't learned it. You're not ready for middle school yet. We've got to send you back to first grade to learn it all over again.
Right.
What are these elementary teachings or elementary truths that he's talking about? Well, if we jump down to chapter 6, verse 1, he gives us a short list of some of those teachings. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. The goal here is that spiritual maturity is what we want. But in order to experience spiritual maturity, we've got to grow beyond elementary teachings about Jesus. And then he gives us a list. Not laying again the foundation of, and here's the list, repentance from acts that lead to death, faith in God, instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. So he gives us a little list of some of those elementary teachings about Christ that we need to understand and that we need to go beyond and build on that. Now we look at that list and think, wow, those are elementary? Huh. I hate to see what the list is of advanced truths that we're supposed to learn. We're going to look at that in a minute. Go back to verse 12. Now that you know what these elementary truths are he's talking about, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. So now he brings up this metaphor that's going to help us understand. He says there is milk and there is solid food. There is milk kind of teaching and there is meat kind of teaching. Milk. He said, this is the level of your spiritual life. You are consuming milk, which, well, I mean, look what he says. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. So here he begins to push it a little bit. What is, if this list of repentance, of faith in God, resurrection of the dead, if those types of things are elementary truths, what's an advanced truth? The teaching about righteousness. Think about this for a minute. The example he gives of elementary truths are a lot of what we would call the gospel, the basic good news of Jesus. That when Jesus died on the cross, that he died for our sins, that when he was raised to life again, he was raised so that we could have new life and eternal life. And that if we come to Christ and repent of our sins, that he will forgive us of our sins, give us eternal life, and that we will escape the judgment. All kind of wrapped up in those list of elementary teachings. That is the good news. That is the gospel. And if you don't have that, you don't understand all of the rest of the teachings about Jesus. If you don't have that, you're not able and ready to move on to the advanced teachings of Jesus. Now, as followers of Jesus, we never really, we don't escape our need for those elementary teachings, but we do have to move on because get this. If all you know about Jesus is repent of your sins and he forgives you, you come to repentance and he forgives you, and then if you sin again, then you repent of your sins, tell him you're sorry, and then he forgives you. What happens is that can become this cycle that just kind of never ends, and it can become a negative and almost vicious cycle, because you sin and you mess up, and then you ask God, you repent of your sins, and he forgives you. And then the next day you sin again, you ask God for forgiveness, and he forgives you. And the next day you sin again, you ask God for you repent, and he forgives you. And you just get stuck in this cycle of what we might call, some people have called, sin management. And that your whole faith is centered around managing your sin. And every time you sin, and every time you go to bed at night worrying that you might have sinned but not realized it and not repented of it yet. And so you start repenting of sins you haven't even yet committed just to be careful. And it just becomes, very, 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 very demoralizing even. But when we move beyond the advanced teachings of Jesus, we find, we read in Scripture, that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in us as well. And then if God can raise Jesus from the dead, that he can give us the power to say no to temptation. That we can live in victory over sin, and we don't have to be stuck in this endless cycle of failure and sin. That by God's power in us, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, he can empower us to live righteous lives by his power and grace alone. And he says, we've got to move on past those elementary teachings of Jesus to experience and live in the righteousness of Christ. He says there is good news, a message of victory for us.
I got to the point in my life where I didn't want milk anymore. I needed something more solid, something with more substance. And what I needed in my life was more God and more Bible time. And I needed it on a regular basis, not just a Sunday morning type basis, but I needed to get into the Word on a consistent basis. I needed to quit being spiritually lazy, and I needed to... When I made a commitment to Christ, I needed to fulfill that, and I needed to make God the number one priority in my life. We cannot be spiritually content with just a Sunday morning sermon and Bible study. We need to be consistent throughout the week. As Pastor has been sharing through this series, dig into our Bibles on a consistent basis, and when we do that, we are going to grow. And so by investing in our time in our Word, we will stretch our minds and we will continue to be the followers of Christ that God wants us to be.
So are you ready to grow up? Ready to get serious about your faith and grow up in Christ? Let's move on. Let's grow up in Christ. Now the question becomes, how? How do I do that? To which many people respond and say, well, yeah, Pastor, we need to be fed. If we want to grow up and we want to move from the milk to the meat, you got to feed us the meat. Let's keep reading. In verse 14 is, I think, one of the most insightful verses in all Scripture. If you have a highlighter, you should highlight this verse. If you have a pencil or pen handy, I want you to underline a couple of phrases, because there are some insights here that will teach us some really great spiritual truths that we've got to get a hold of if we are going to grow up. In fact, it's so important. Why don't we just all read verse 14 together? We've got it up on the screen there? Good. All right, read it with me. But solid food is for the mature, who, by constant use... have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. The first phrase I want you to underline is this. Solid food is for the mature. Just underline that right there. If you want to grow to maturity in Christ, you got to get into the Word of God, and you got to dig into the meat, the solid Word of God. And look what he says here. Solid food is for the mature. Now, if you want to be mature and you want to grow up in your faith, you know what you should do? Just do what mature people do. I mean, think about it. If you want to get strong, Grant, what do you think? If I want to get strong and get in shape, what should I do?
Lift some weights, exercise.
Do it strong, healthy, right. In shape people do, right? And they go to the gym regularly, they lift weights, they exercise. If I want to get strong, just do what in shape people do. Right. If I want to If I want to start eating healthy, and I say, I really want to start eating healthy, what should I do?
Probably good food.
Just start eating some good food, right? Yeah, just do what healthy people do, which is a regular diet of good food. If you, whatever you want to be, just start doing the things that people do who are that you want, whatever you want to be. And so solid food is for the mature. Take a diet of solid food. Now, look what else. Underline this next phrase here. This is genius. What do mature people do? Solid food is for the mature who, underline this, by constant use. Mature people know that whatever you want, you've got to do it, and you've got to do it regularly. Let's take the example of going to the gym. The guy who goes to the gym once a week, what do we call him?
Somebody looking for a date.
Pretty much. He's not going to get strong and anything.
He's looking for a date.
No. Similarly, if I say I'm going to eat healthy and I eat one healthy meal every week, that's not eating healthy, is it? Solid food is for the mature who, by constant use. If you want to grow to spiritual maturity, you've got to pick up your Bible more than just at a worship service on a weekend. You've got to pick up your Bible regularly. You've got a constant diet of spiritual food where you're constantly feeding on the Word of God. That's why we're encouraging each other. Let's at least start at four times a week, one time on the weekend, and then three more times during the week. Some of you guys have been doing this, and I've been hearing your stories of how you've been opening up your Bibles, and you've been following along the reading plan that we've done in 1 Peter chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and now this week we're in 2 Peter, and by the end of this coming week, if you're tracking along, you will have spent time hearing from God, and you will have read two chapters of the Bible, which is maybe more than you've ever read, and that is something to celebrate, and God is now speaking to you. Why? Because you're discovering the secret to spiritual maturity. Solid food is for the mature, who? By constant use. And then, what I think is one of the most genius insights in all of Scripture, take your pen, the last phrase I want you to underline here. Solid food is for the mature who by constant use have, underlined this, trained themselves. Mature people know that their spiritual maturity is no one else's responsibility. It's not their pastor's job for them to become spiritually mature. It's not their small group leader's job for them to become spiritually mature. Mature people know that if I'm going to grow into maturity, I've got to take responsibility for my own spiritual growth and do whatever I need to do. Solid food is for the mature who, by constant use, have trained themselves. Think of it this way, since we're talking about food, right? Grant, Thanksgiving's this week. Your son is 21 years old, okay? He's coming home from college this week. You're excited to see him.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have a big family Thanksgiving. Yeah. Okay, so set the scene. It's Thanksgiving dinner. Family is there. Whatever other friends have been dragged in from the street are there.
Right.
You and Renee have cooked a wonderful Thanksgiving meal. You've prayed the blessing. You've thanked God for all the ways that he's blessed you. The food's getting cold, so pass it around. Everybody gets a plate full of food. They're eating it. You're enjoying it. And you look over and your son, he's not doing anything. He's sitting there, plate full of food, but... And you look at him and you say, you know, son, what's wrong? Are you not feeling well? Does something not taste good? What's the matter? Yeah. And he looks at you and says, well, Dad, I'm waiting for somebody to feed me. Will you feed me, Dad?
I say, no, ask your sister.
Yeah, that's right. Probably. Or you might say.
I'd say, no, feed yourself.
Feed yourself. Yeah. In your mind, you might be thinking something like, what are you, two?
Right.
Feed yourself. The two-year-old, the two-year-old wants to feed himself, even though he's going to make a mess everywhere.
Right.
An infant is someone who needs to be fed. If your son or daughter looked, you'd say, come on, it's time to grow up and to feed yourself. Why? Because mature people feed themselves. Mature people don't sit around and say, I need to be fed. Babies do that. And if we are going to grow up, we need to take the example of mature people. And if you want to experience spiritual maturity, you need to do what mature people do. And what do? Solid food is for the mature who, by constant use, have trained themselves. In other words, if you're ever going to grow up in Christ, it's time to put down the bottle and pick up a fork and start feeding yourself and stop depending on everybody else to feed you what you need from the Lord. It's time to pick up a fork and dive into God's Word and eat the meat, consume the meat of God's Word. And here's what happens. Sometimes it tastes good and it's easy, but sometimes you got to chew on it a while. Sometimes it doesn't taste good, but it's good for you. But that's what mature people do. They do things that are good for them, even when it doesn't feel good. And if you want to be spiritually mature, it is time to put down the bottle, stop drinking the milk, stop depending on everybody else to take responsibility for your spiritual growth, and say, I am going to feed myself. I'm going to act like an adult. I'm going to act like the mature person I'm going to be, and I am going to feed myself on God's word. You want to be mature? Pick up a fork and start feeding yourself. You're going to grow to spiritual maturity. Because whenever people take responsibility for their growth, God blesses it and God shows That's up. Right. And you're going to show up with a new intensity. And you're going to say, God, teach me. And you're going to open up God's word, and it's going to be hard and you won't always understand it. And you may have to read the same chapter for 3 days to really get something out of it. But when you do, you're going to say, oh, God, you have taught me yourself, and you are on your way to spiritual health, spiritual maturity. Now, look, this isn't just our good idea. This isn't just what the pastors are telling you. We've been sharing this each week, and we've been sharing some of the stories of our own church members. So today, we're going to hear the story of Butch. Butch is one of our Sunday school teachers. He disciples people on Monday nights and Tuesday nights, and whenever the Lord leads him to disciple, as you're going to hear, he just takes God's word, and you get discipled in God's word. If you want some additional teaching other than, you know, feeding yourself, join. You should go to Butch's Sunday school class. Come next week to the 9 o'clock service. Stay for 10:30. But at this time, I want you to enjoy Butch's story. Check this out.
When I came to Christ, I remembered a story about Solomon asking for wisdom. So when I came to Christ, I asked God, I says, give me understanding of your word so that I could share it with people. And basically, when I was in Vietnam, I wasn't a Christian. My wife gave me a Bible. I would read myself to sleep. Boring. When I became a Christian, it became alive. And God would give me an answer to a question somebody at work would ask me the day before the question would come. So consequently, you ask me how many times I read through the Bible. People thought I'd already read through the Bible 1,000 times because I always had the answer because of the Holy Spirit. He says, your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. If we want to live clean and holy before the Lord, we have to write his word in our heart. It's a discipline. If we don't discipline ourselves, we will just fade away. Our spiritual values will be very little. Even discipling now, I always use the Word of God. Anytime I speak to anybody, because what I say doesn't amount to a hill of beans. What does God say? My daughter was working for the city of Vancouver in the accounting someplace, because she's an accountant. And she came home one day and she said, Dad, I have this friend I want you to meet. He is a basket case. I thought, oh, yeah, I need a basket case in my life. I said, invite him over to dinner, because she was not married yet, so she was still living with us. I said, invite him over to dinner, and we'll see what God wants to do with this man. So he came over, and him and I hit it off, and I felt like the Holy Spirit said, disciple this guy once a week. I said, okay. And he agreed. He said, okay, I'll come once a week. So I had been discipling for months, year almost, and one day I wasn't in a very spiritual mood. I get in those moods, you know. And he came over and I said, you know, I'm sick and tired of giving people advice. And he said, why is that? And I said, because they don't listen. He said, well, I do. I said, you do? Have you started reading your Bible daily like I've told you to? No, no. I said, see, you're just like everybody else. He said, I'll start. I said, okay, I want you to take the first epistle of John this week, read 10 minutes a day. I said, oh, that might be too hard for you. Read 5 minutes a day and reread it if you get through it, and reread it. And we'll talk about what's in it next week when you come back. He came back, and he started telling me what the Holy Spirit had told him through the first epistle of John. Blew me away. I didn't even know some of the stuff was in there. It was like, wow, the Holy Spirit does better than me at teaching. And so he got his life straightened out, started reading the Word. We would go to church before that, and he would listen to the pastor with his head down and getting his toes stomped, you know, because the Holy Spirit was dealing with him. But when he got into the Word, God cleansed him. How can you cleanse your own ways? By taking heed to God's Word. It's reading daily. It's not cramming for a test and then expecting to do good on a test. It's like reading daily. Holy Spirit speaks to you if you put the word in your heart. If you don't plant it in your heart, how can he talk to you? How can he call to remembrance scriptures that you haven't put there?
Man, I love that last line he shares there. How can the Holy Spirit call to remembrance scriptures that you haven't put them in, that you have not yet put into your heart? But in the moment when you need the word of God, when you need God to work in you and bring that word of encouragement, when you have put God's word in your heart, you give him something to draw from, and he draws from that well and shares with you exactly what you need to hear. It's time to grow up. It's time to get serious about our faith. For some of you today, it's time to put down the bottle, to pick up a fork, and to say, God, I am going to grow up in my faith. This week, we put in your bulletins an insert that not only has discussion questions, but another week of Bible readings that we're going to do this week, just like we did last week. Instead of reading several chapters, we're going to take one chapter, 2 Peter chapter 3. And your next appointment with God sometime this week, you're going to read through that chapter, reading with your mind, listening for the questions that you might have, and writing down the questions and thinking through, trying to understand. And then the second appointment with God, you're going to read with your heart, noticing what you feel as you respond to God's word, and you notice, what do I embrace in this chapter, and what am I resisting in this chapter? And then a third appointment with God, you're going to read with your will. You're going to ask Jesus, what do you want me to do about this? Lord Jesus, make your will my will. Change my will to bring it in line with your will and see what God does in you. And you take this week and you soak and you dig and you feed yourself with the meat of God's word. You will grow, but only if you choose to grow up in your faith. Here's how I want us to end. I know we've gone a little bit long today, so we're not going to take a ton of time with this. But I just, even last night when we were worshiping, I thought, you know, with Grant's story, with so many of the other stories, I think there's some folks worshiping today who are living right where Grant was living. You're living right where the people in this passage are living, and you need to hear this today. And it's not me. God's getting a hold of your heart. You may not have heard anything I've said, and that's okay if you've heard God getting a hold of your heart. Maybe today for you, God is calling you to him. And Jesus is saying to you, it's time to grow up. You've been believing in me, but it's time to get serious and to grow up in your faith. Stand with me if you would. We're going to sing together. But as I'll always encourage people, don't ever let a song get in your way of dealing with God and what God might be saying to you. And if today God is calling you to himself, I'm going to invite you. We'll just take a couple of minutes. I'm going to invite you to come and pray. I'm going to invite you to make a bold statement. And we're going to celebrate what God's doing in your life. If God is saying it's time to grow up, I'm going to invite you to do something really bold, to step out in the aisle, to come on down and just kneel at these prayer benches here and to seek the Lord today. We'll invite some friends to come pray around you and to encourage you. But today, somebody needs to say, God, I'm going to grow up. I'm done being spiritually lazy. I'm done not even trying to understand. I'm all yours today, Lord Jesus. So let's sing this song. Let's seek the Lord. If that's you today, say yes to Jesus. Come and pray. Give your life to him. Let's grow up. Anybody else want to come and seek the Lord today? Jesus is tugging at your heart. Just say yes to him. You know that song we sing? It says, come to the altar. The Father's arms are wide open. You know that song's not about a physical piece of furniture. The altar is Jesus. And we put our whole selves on Jesus and we say, Jesus, I'm all yours. Life begins to change. He calls us from this place of just spiritually coasting to get serious about him. That's you today. Come, seek him. Let's pray. Why don't we sing a little bit of this next bridge here? If that's you today and God's trying to get a hold of your heart, just say yes to him. Come and pray today and let's seek him.
He is more.
love this sight of several of our ladies seeking the Lord this morning. If we have a couple of ladies here that could just come and gather around these and pray with them and encourage them, and even as we pray together today, just come on, support these gals in their faith. For all of us, if God's tugging at your heart, you know, there's nothing magical about kneeling here. It's about giving yourself to Jesus. If that's you today, just pray along with me. Lord Jesus, I want to be yours 100%. Jesus, you gave your life for me 100%. I want to give my life to you 100%. Lord, I'm tired of being spiritually lazy. I'm tired of just coasting based on what you did for me decades ago. Jesus, I seek you today. More of you, Lord Jesus. Less of me, Lord Jesus. Jesus, would you teach us? Lord, would you push us beyond the elementary truths? Push us to put down the bottle, to pick up a fork and do the hard spiritual work of learning to feed ourselves the deep truths of your word. Oh, Lord Jesus, we want to be taught by you. So would you draw us deeper and closer to you? And Lord, bring us. Lord, lead us to maturity by your strength, by your power. Lead us to grow up in you. Lord Jesus, we pray in your name today. We pray all these things. Amen. Let's sing this last part here. Bow down before him with everything we've got today. So sing it. Bow down before him, and then we will go and tell you what I'd like us to do. At the end of the song, let's just go quietly so that anybody who wants to remain and pray can have a quiet, reverent environment to pray. But let's finish off the song, then we'll go pray and enjoy Thanksgiving to dinner together. So lead us out, guys.